I chose to step into an adulterous affair. Lying had just become a second nature.
People can keep secrets, but they'll always be found out.
It's the deepest level of betrayal that you can experience.
This void in her heart was being filled. It was intoxicating.
I loved the chemistry we felt together. This got to be kind of like a fix for me that nobody knew about.
I knew that we were broken. I didn't know what to do.
It's the darkest time of my entire life.
As I was driving to this parking lot, I knew that at the end of this meeting, my life was gonna be different. I was excited to see him. That kiss felt wrong, but I wanted it. He and I shared a secret. He wasn't gonna out me, and I wasn't gonna out him. I cheated on my husband. I was no longer an innocent wife. There was a day I was in the office making sales calls, and I remember Brian walked in.
I went into my brother's office. There was a new girl there. I could tell that she was energetic and someone that I'd be interested in getting to know. One of her coworkers was kind of a matchmaker.
She set up a blind date, and he took me around Portland.
She could draw you in with her smile, her laugh.
I just thought, this guy's really, really nice.
I knew I was in love with Jenny the moment I kissed her.
Brian was so sweet, and I really liked having him in my life.
I just couldn't imagine my life without her.
We loved children, both Brian and I did, and we wanted to have them early on in our lives.
The trying part of having kids was great, but after a few months, it took the fun out of our sex life and made it more like a chore.
At 6 or 7 months, I started to realize something was not quite right. I expected to be pregnant by this point.
I started definitely to feel like maybe I'm not the man I need to be, like, I should be able to get my wife pregnant. And it was just really hard for me to perform on command.
We went back to the doctor, and that's when they started putting us through a million different tests. Brian and I had something that wasn't working 100%. Infertility is a label that no woman ever wants. I was devastated. I felt like God created women with the gift of being able to have children, and I was dysfunctional.
Unfortunately, I wasn't really good at expressing how I felt about it. It's kind of a helpless feeling.
He couldn't feel what I was feeling. I saw this as my biggest failure. I've never failed at anything before. I asked God why he would punish me. What had I done? To not deserve children. I thought I was cursed.
We did start to kind of disconnect emotionally through this process. It becomes an emotional drain that can tear you apart. It was just kind of like we were in our own little worlds going through this.
When Jenny and Brian came to see me, they didn't have really good communication skills. They weren't connected. Creating a child is something that is so bonding and potentially really can glue a relationship together. And when a couple wants to do that and are unable to do that, it pulls at our core.
At this point in our marriage, I was always ready for a fight. When I was upset or hurt or scared, I would lash out. Because Brian never fought back, I got even more frustrated. In his silence, I understood it as he just didn't care. Unfortunately, our journey of infertility had taken a huge toll on our marriage. I needed a break. In the summer of 2006, I was invited to be a part of a team that was going to go down to Mexico to help build houses.
I thought it could give her an opportunity to go and renew her spirit, have a break. And I honestly thought it would be great for me too to have a little bit of a break, because I was just feeling somewhat strained in our relationship.
I was impressed by how Jim was so passionate, and it just made me want to be passionate about what I did as well. And I started realizing that I was looking forward to seeing him every day, and I loved that he noticed me. At home, Brian would shut down. He didn't want conversation. But with Jim, he engaged in conversation. He almost finished my sentences. And I was shocked that I would have feelings like this for someone else other than Brian. We were both married, and that was a lot to risk since he had a wife of his own. On the last couple days of the trip, I was sad because my time with Jim was almost over. I knew that we were going back to our regular lives.
When Jenny got back from the trip, she was more toned down. She was more reflective.
Brian asked me how the trip went, and I told him very little. A lot of it was because I was so confused with how I felt. So I pulled away even more.
Jenny wasn't feeling emotionally connected with Brian. That makes her vulnerable to someone else who will talk to her in a way that she wants to be talked to, or understood in a way that she wants to be understood, to have that connection.
I found myself, when I was alone, thinking about Jim and missing him and missing the camaraderie. Jim's email said there were times during the night that he would wake up and question who was in bed with him, his wife or me, and it made me feel special. I read this email over and over, and finally I responded and said that I cared deeply for him, and I felt that I was in love with him.
It's a basic human need to feel loved and accepted. It's all about what she needs and what she wants, and not about anybody else. She got closer and closer to the edge of a slippery slope until she slid right off.
Within a month of the trip, Jim and I decided to get a motel room. I pulled up to the motel and I sat in my car thinking for a moment, I could just drive away. I'm not an idiot. I knew I was at the motel to have sex with Jim, and I wanted it. I walked into that room, and there he was, waiting for me. It felt right and wrong, and everything in between. Jim was a much more attentive lover, and he took the time to meet my needs physically, emotionally, mentally. My first orgasm ever was with Jim, and I felt like it was physical nirvana. I remember putting my clothes back on, thinking I should feel worse about this. I felt guilt that I was doing this to Brian because he had never done anything to deserve this. I snuffed out that voice of guilt and replaced it with a sense of entitlement. I realized I cheated on my husband. I was no longer an innocent wife. I chose to step into an adulterous affair. My physical relationship with Jim was the best I'd ever experienced. I knew this was the beginning of our relationship. I dove headfirst in, and I was gonna be swimming for some time.
The person of the affair is idealized, and that's easy to do because you don't live with them, you don't share the stresses of life. So it's a false intensity, and that cannot be maintained. Affairs can never last because they can't grow in secret, and a relationship has to grow or it will die.
Jim and I started meeting each other at motel rooms once a week, twice a week. To ensure that I would not get pregnant from my affair, I asked Jim to get a vasectomy, and he did. I felt like I had power and control over Jim because he would choose to do things I asked. But Jim always knew that I wasn't gonna leave Brian for him.
Jenny's life was so busy during that period of our life that I never really thought anything about her not being home at a certain time.
It was weird because lying to Brian had just become a second nature. Anytime I ran an errand, I just made the errand last longer. Anytime I could see Jim, I would.
But because I didn't suspect anything and I really did just have complete trust in Jenny, I didn't do any snooping at all.
Brian didn't ask questions because he didn't want to know. And if it's not even in your realm of possibility, if you believe it can never happen to you, you're not even looking. And we all have to be aware that it can happen to us. None of us are immune from having an affair.
At home, I overcompensated. I was determined to not give any hints that I was in an affair. I kept the house spotless. I made sure dinner was always on the table when Brian got home. I started to have more sex with Brian as well.
She became so engaged in our life that it was like she couldn't get enough. The change was so sudden and so unexpected, I really didn't know where it came from or what was causing it, but I certainly wasn't arguing with it.
I didn't really think that I was doing too much damage. I think I stepped into it thinking that I could have both. I really believed I could have my marriage and also have my soulmate on the side.
People can keep secrets for a while, but it can never last. They'll always be found out.
I don't think Brian ever had a clue that I was having an affair. I was with Jim because I finally experienced true love. If I gave Jim up, it would mean I was just a common day whore. But I checked my email one night and I saw an email from Jim, and he said he wanted to call it quits. He got caught in another affair and his wife was leaving him, and he was so sorry. I was just another notch on his bedpost. I was saddened and jealous and hurt, and I felt lied to, but More than anything, I was disappointed that I gave myself to someone that really didn't care. And he asked me not to say anything to Brian. And his reasoning for it was that he didn't want me to lose everything the way he was losing everything. And I began to realize the gravity of what I'd done. And how much I loved Brian, and how much I had always loved Brian. And how badly I had deceived myself. And to be honest, I needed to tell Brian, but now the fear set in that I would lose everything that I had ever worked for.
Guilt is a good emotion. I believe guilt is something that's very important to us. It helps keep our moral compass going in the right direction, and it can help us to redirect and change course.
So one night, Brian's laying on the bed watching something on TV, and I decided it's time. I need to tell Brian.
She turned to me and she said, "I need to tell you something." And I could just tell by the tone that it was something serious.
And I immediately started crying and I said, "I've had an affair. I'm sorry."
It was not anything I ever expected to hear from her lips. I was just utterly in shock. Like, my whole body just kind of froze up. It wasn't a instant anger or like this major emotional moment. It was just like kind of a gut-wrenching shock. And then I was thinking back over all the different things that had happened and why didn't I see it? Just kind of beating myself up. But then I started to feel anger. It was like I kind of got hit with a 2x4, and the reality sunk in that my heart had been ripped out. And I told her I just need some time. I can't make any decisions right now. So I gotta think it through and figure out what my options are and where my heart is.
A couple of days being gone turned into 5 days, and I started to wonder if he was ever going to come back.
I cried more than I'd ever cried. It's almost like the first time you ever break up with somebody in your life, and it's new, it's raw. Well, this is that times 100, because it's the deepest level of betrayal that you can experience.
The past is never just the past. The past is within us. It's part of who we are, which is why we can't just put the past away and close the door to it and just move forward.
I definitely was entertaining thoughts of what would it look like if I decided not to return to the marriage. But as I thought about it, I began to realize over the years that we'd been together, there were more good times than bad. I knew that deep down I really did love Jenny.
The process of realizing the amount of pain that I caused was devastating. And I just apologized the best I could, and I told him I would spend the rest of my life making it right.
Within 24 hours of returning, Jenny and I agreed we needed to get into professional counseling as soon as possible. If I was going to engage in trying to rebuild our marriage, I wanted to make sure that I could get back to a place of trusting her again.
We called a counselor and met twice a week with her.
Jenny had to take ownership. She had to own the behavior and take full responsibility for it.
I didn't just want to survive anymore. I wanted our marriage to thrive. And I knew that a lot of that started with me. In therapy, I learned that it was a lot less about the affair and much more about me trying to meet a need.
I think the challenge of infertility was just another milestone in our journey that helped create a wider divide.
They had to be able to know what it was that created the foundation for this to happen and to learn from it. And when that happens, then relationships become stronger.
As we went through therapy, I learned a lot more about how deep my need for approval was and how I had kind of hidden behind that. There was a revelation of the fact that I needed to use my voice in making my needs known. It wasn't fair for me to expect her to meet my needs if I never expressed what they were.
Rebuilding trust is probably one of the hardest things that we had to do.
Obviously, there's no way to know for sure that someone's not going to hurt you again. At some point, there has to be a level of faith and trust that they're in this.
Brian and I have been married for over 9 years, and we have two beautiful boys. Having a child was amazing. I no longer felt cursed.
Paxton's two and Chance is five, and we just love spending time with them, and family is extremely important to us.
I can honestly say that I am truly, passionately in love with my husband and nobody else.
And we're able to deal with each other and do parenting and just do all the things of life as a team. We were never looked at it that way before.
In May this last year, Brian and I renewed our vows. I don't take any of this for granted, and I will never forget the grace and the love that he showed. The power of love and forgiveness supersedes all things.
I realized that my period was due and it was a day late, and I started freaking out. I would have done anything to turn back the time and not have made the choices that I did. When I took that pregnancy test, sheer terror was going through my mind. And if it comes back positive, my life as I know it will be over. I love my husband, who I had completely betrayed. I was so scared. I met Bob in Dallas, Texas. I was 17.
My first impressions of her was, you know, her happiness. She has such a contagious smile.
Bob was super hot. He always wore these incredible cowboy boots and Levi's jeans and a white t-shirt. And I loved the chemistry we felt together.
We just simply enjoyed being with each other. Conversation just flowed easily.
Bob and I were such a great match because we wanted to have the kind of life that changed the world.
Well, attending Bible college was a dream, I think, come true. And after graduating, I thought, you know, the very natural step was then to become a pastor. Audrey and I were married on June 2nd, 1984.
I just remember being ecstatic beyond belief. I expected marriage to be the fairy tale that I had all planned out. After we got married, we went to work for a TV show. I did a lot of the writing.
I began producing children's programs as well as the daily television programs.
We love being together 24/7. I couldn't wait to be a mom. Everything in me wanted to have a baby, so I was excited. Our son, Christopher Robert, was born on October 31st, 1986. 2.5 years later, our daughter, Janelle, was born.
And then our third born is David. I just wanted to have children, to have a family. You want to protect, you want to provide, you want to be a great dad.
Our family was now a family of five, and really life was at its best. I was a busy mom, but I was living my dream.
Being a pastor, for me, was simply a dream come true.
Starting the new church was something very exciting for both of us. I saw it as Bob's dream, and I joined in with the dream. We organized volunteers. I would do everything I could to make people feel loved and accepted. To say we were busy is an understatement, and it never stopped. It was very normal for us to invite people from our new church into our home, and if people were going through a hard time, we would be right there to really be a help in any way that we could. But there were times when I would go home at night and lay my head on the pillow. I would feel just pure exhaustion. I found myself getting more and more stressed. I was just giving out so much, there was nothing left to give. My heart was empty, and that's why I started to feel trapped. My life in the church became a weekly ordeal that involved a lot of energy, emotionally, physically, that I really didn't have to give. I knew that even if I had a desire to just kind of quit the whole thing, it really wasn't possible. The pressure weighed me down to the point where it almost made me explode. When I would get feelings, I would dismiss them and say, "Audrey, just get over it. You're helping to fulfill Bob's dream."
I remember Bob and Audrey coming to me, and when one continually keeps up appearances for the sake of others, that's self-deception. And over time, you'll create a bigger and bigger hole in your heart than can easily be tempted.
When I met Adam, I thought, this guy needs a lot of love, and this is what we're here for.
Adam is of Jamaican descent, and he came from a broken home. He was 24.
We helped him find the job he needed, find a car. He had a way of really getting into our family. He helped me where I needed it the most, with the kids or cleaning the house or whatever it was. As Adam and I became more comfortable together, our defenses came down, our filters came off, and I remember him just flirting with me. I was 34, and I liked it. This got to be kind of like a fix for me. It was a private fix that nobody knew of, but I knew that if I called him or if he came over, he'd probably compliment me, and I really enjoyed the attention. I felt like I was in control of this situation. If I wanted it to stop, it would stop immediately. But in the meantime, I was having fun, and I have the right to enjoy myself.
In Audrey's case, it was easy to slowly compromise, to move one's core values and boundaries. People are moved into temptation and are able to escape their reality.
And then our relationship crossed a line. I said to him, "Wow, I can't believe I actually found myself having feelings for you. How crazy and stupid is that?" As soon as I told him that I was attracted to him, he said the feelings were mutual. And that would heighten my sense of excitement sexually, but I was never satisfied. I'd find myself wanting to see him again, and it became a fight within my heart. Do I do what I feel like doing, the selfish thing, and just getting what I want of this relationship? Or do I do the wise thing and stop the relationship before it goes any further? And unfortunately, the selfishness within me won. After a very long day, I went to see Adam, and I remember him sitting down with me and says, "Here, just give me your feet, let me rub your feet." And I did, and it felt so good to have that kind of comfort given to me and that tenderness. Our hormones were raging, and it was probably not the smartest thing for us to be alone. And I'm not proud of what happened next, because even though we didn't plan it, we did end up sleeping together. I just remember thinking, I want this. You know, I'm allowed to do this.
In Audrey's case, she wasn't tempted by the physical attraction or by a desire to hurt her husband. I think that all of a sudden, this void in her heart of affirmation, of love, of attention was being filled. It was intoxicating.
I never intended to give myself to him like that. It happened in a moment of passion, confusion. I don't like talking about it. It's the darkest time of my entire life. Right after the encounter, I knew immediately that this needed to end as soon as possible. I loved my husband too much, and I couldn't continue with this. I knew that in order for this relationship to be completely done, I knew he had to actually physically leave town. It was very simple. Adam just agreed that he would tell everyone that he was moving on. For the 2 days after Adam left, everything was normal on the outside, but deep down inside, I knew that I had to tell Bob. I didn't know how. I was scared out of my mind to confess this level of betrayal to my husband. And an opportunity came at work. And I said, "Honey, I have something really awful to tell you. I committed adultery with Adam."
I had absolutely no idea that this was coming. I mean, here we are married 17 years. I didn't know what to do. Do I leave? You know, do I just walk away? I really wanted to express to her how angry I was and how mad and, yeah, I mean, hurt, really hurt.
The regret was overwhelming. He would just look at me with such rage in his eyes.
I began to bombard her with questions, and the biggest one is why? You know, why?
And I said, "I'm so sorry, honey. I have no idea why I did what I did. I wish I had an answer for you." I didn't feel right telling him my frustrations involving those dreams.
The crisis that we were experiencing is almost unimaginable for me. I loved my children, and I didn't want to walk away from my family. I thought that I would be able to at least stay. We would mend it enough that we could continue to be a family.
Bob needed to make a stand and send a strong signal that he will fight for the reconciliation of the relationship.
The first day that my period was late, I just thought, there's no way that I'm pregnant. I was just scared out of my mind. I had to say something to Bob. I wasn't gonna hide this from him. And I said, "Honey, I think my period is late."
So the next day, we went to a doctor's office and Audrey took a pregnancy test.
And I remember just thinking, if it comes back positive, everything is gonna be over. The doctor came in and said, the pregnancy test has come back positive. And my knees were buckling with all these thoughts going through my head.
You see, I had had a vasectomy, so I knew that I did not impregnate my wife.
And the doctor said, would you like to continue this pregnancy?
But in that moment, something arose inside of me, and I answered immediately and with confidence, yes, we want this baby. No longer is this just about me and what Audrey did to me. There's a baby involved. I mean, we had pain, lots of pain. I remember morning after morning, Audrey would say, Bob, I love you. And I would always push back and reject her love. And I'd drive away. And a due date is coming closer and closer. And I'm wrestling deep on the inside. We didn't know what this baby would look like. We knew that this little one would be biracial, that he would look different than his siblings. All that I knew is that I needed help as a husband. I knew that I needed help as a father. And we were broken. During the pregnancy, I wrestled with one thought, and it was an enormous fear in my life. Will I be able to love this baby as my own, or will he forever be a reminder of the betrayal and of the rejection? We needed help, and that's when I phoned Dr. Leo Godsich.
Just as marriage is a process, so is reconciliation. Audrey needed to reveal her frustration and her inability to communicate her feelings to Bob as part of the renewal of intimacy.
And Bob and I started being more honest than we ever had been in our married life.
I was very surprised to discover how much she hated her role in the church. I never wanted to be a pastor at the expense of losing my marriage or losing my family.
I was really ready to come to terms with the fact that it was a compromise in my own personal life to stuff my feelings and to not express my disappointments with Bob. And when I was able to face those things, then I was able to learn how to really discuss things in a way that was effective in progressing our relationship. I was very fearful about telling the kids about the baby coming. I was concerned how this would affect them, knowing that I had hurt our family in such a devastating way.
We had dinner together, and it was just weighing very heavy upon my heart, you know, of the news that we had to share. We invited the kids for a family meeting, which was very typical in our home. I began to speak to them of how I love their mom. I said, kids, your mom has made a great mistake, but I'm not going anywhere. You're gonna have a baby brother. My oldest son, Christopher, he knew exactly what had taken place.
Bob and I were scared out of our minds before the baby was born. Scared as I was, I really wanted to meet him. Going to the hospital that day, I was literally trembling. When the baby came out, I could see a love Bob had in his eyes for the baby, and that was a big relief to me.
When our son was born, I gave him my name, Robert Theodore, because I don't want my son to grow up questioning a day in his life whose boy he is.
After the baby was born, I felt a little bit of the gap close because the chapter had ended and I knew it was going to be good.
We chose each other. We chose our family. And day by day, almost breath by breath, things got better.
We thought we had a great marriage before, but now there are no secrets between us. And because of that, I'm not scared to tell him how I'm really feeling. He's my greatest hero, and I will forever be grateful to him for what he did to me and taking me back and loving me.
My family today, I don't think could be better. To see my children love each other is amazing. Robert's now 9 years old. I don't ever want him to question his identity. I don't ever want him to think that he was an accident or a mistake. That's my son.
Robert is definitely one of the most precious gifts that God has ever given to me.
Am I thankful that it took place? No, never. It never should have happened. But because of the healing in my life and in my marriage, I know love now like I've never known before.